was Marv Levy, and I'm sure all of us in that public spotlight want to lie in the fetal position and whimper, but the Suns are standing up after a slow start and setting a new standard. Before we go into more detail about that, Mike, I'd like your comment about David Stern's comments and this suspension of Carmelo Anthony and just how this is being handled, how you feel about it, what it does for the game.
For general message that I'm going to start holding our teams accountable for the actions of their players and other employees. And in the case, I'm not finding, you know, a cause of the altercation with specificity. What I'm saying is, if you continue to employ employees who engage in these actions, your organization is going to have to pay a price.
That's Commissioner Stern. What do you feel about this? It's the first time, really, of anything truly serious since the Detroit-Indiana brawl.
Well, I mean, there's no place for it. It wasn't good. It was awful. A lot of people made a lot of mistakes, and I think the commissioner did the right thing. You fine them, you suspend them, you move on, and you try to put measures in that will correct it for the next time. I don't think you can totally eliminate it, but you can definitely do your best and try to control it.
Mike, I remember some games where a team was up by 12 points and the other team came back in the last minute to win the game. Do you think the perception that 19 points up with 2 minutes to go and keeping your starting five in was running it up on the part of the Nuggets?
Not at all. I don't even think it doesn't. I don't know what George's, what's happened to them in the past. I don't know what kind of team he has or what kind of mindset. But you know what? So what if you're getting beat? So what if somebody scores an extra 4 points on you, do you think that somebody sitting around going, "Oh, they got beat by 15 instead of 11. They really look bad." You lost. Take it like a man. Sit there, get your team better for the next time you play them, and try to kill them. I mean, that's to blame somebody trying to run the score up. That's nothing. That's like That's like not shaking somebody's hand when you're walking off the floor.
You know, it reminds me of watching Tampa Bay, a team that's having a very poor season against Chicago, trying to start fights in the game on Sunday. It's almost an act of desperation. What do you tell your players when they're playing this well, when a lot of teams really feel like you're beating every single team you're supposed to beat? The only teams you've lost to have been Utah, Dallas, San Antonio, the Lakers, and the Clippers. And with the exception of the Clippers, those other teams have a combined record of 70-26. But the other teams that feel like they don't have a chance, they may try things like that. How do you coach your players to not get involved and not let that distract them?
Well, first of all, we got great guys, and I don't have to really do anything because they won't get that way. And they understand the risk. They understand the importance of the league and the importance of setting a good example and having a great image out there. Everybody shares in the same pie, and we're all, economically connected. So, everybody's trying to do the right thing, and it's about winning basketball games. It's not disrespect, when a coach takes you out of the game, he's not trying to show you up. He's trying to win a basketball game. So, this respect thing gets a little bit out of whack.
Yeah, unfortunately, some people never seem to get over it. Let's talk about Steve Nash. A guy is shooting almost 50% from the three-point line, and the effect of Leandro Barbosa in taking some of that edge off so Steve can do the things he likes to do.
Yeah, well, Steve, again, is playing at an unbelievable level, which he has in the last 2 years, which he won the MVP. So, he's just doing it again. He prepares himself in the summertime. He prepares himself every day before the games, and he comes out and gives an unbelievable performance. Even when he's not on and tired, it's still a pretty good performance. So that's what separates him from everybody else. Leandro has definitely come on. He's playing well. A lot of confidence, shoots the ball extremely well. He's probably the fastest guy in the league. But, a big part of what we do, Boris Diaw has come on, and he's taking a lot of the playmaking role, where he can get 6 or 7 assists a game, and that's that second guy that's really helped us a lot.
He's such a great athlete. Some people were saying he was a little, shall we say, pudgy after Europe, but he's back in shape, and he's such a great athlete. Tell me what he does. To me, he embodies the fact that everybody on your team can play at every position virtually. You have such athleticism at every position.
Well, that's been our key, and Boris just played a high level. And he, you know, again, I was kind of, I fostered the idea that he was out of shape and stuff coming back from Europe, but, you know, he played all summer and took the month off of September. So he was going to have a little bit of a slow start, and I think it's normal, and to be honest with you, we kind of wanted him to have a slow start because he's been playing basketball year-round for 4 or 5 years. And also he has the type of body that's a little fleshy, and it's just his body makeup, but he's a great athlete. And, yeah, he can run the pick and roll from the four spot. We go through him a lot. He just adds that versatility to a team that already has Sean Marion and Martin Stoudemire and different people that just make us really hard to guard.
Talking to the hottest, the coach of the hottest team in the NBA, Mike D'Antoni. Coach, last year, as you look back, you were able to take advantage of it in a way because your team has grown, especially when I look at Sean Marion, too, and the way he turned into such a dominant rebounder last year. What has that done to that combination, that unbeatable combination of Sean Marion and Amari Stoudemire?
Well, they just, you know, they just keep getting better. And if we could really get good defensively, which we can, there's no reason why not, except, you know, it's an effort and concentration thing. And that's the only last little piece that we need to do. But these guys are pretty good. You know, they're all-stars, and they're all NBA players. And when you have the MVP and the second and then two all-NBA guys on your team, you're going to be pretty good. You're going to beat a lot of people. It's just they're... What makes them special is they come out and they take care of business when they don't lose against teams or, you know, they're not supposed to. They understand the importance of each game, and they give you a high effort every night.
And when I've said that there was a weakness on this team, as a journalist, I've got to look for that is, of course, driving down that lane and not having that physical presence in the middle. What's the difference this year with the Suns?
Well, you know, we don't have that, and that's we probably will never have that if we're built for speed and other things. Now, Kurt Thomas will come in, and he does give you that presence. And, you know, we tried 2 years ago. We were really good and fell a little short, and we tried to get a team on the floor that got a little tougher, a little bit better defensively, and a little bit tougher underneath. And we added Kurt Thomas, and he's playing really well and doing that job. We've added Rajah Bell, who gives you a mental toughness defensively. So we think we've taken care of some areas. We can get better, and we need to get better to win a championship. But, again, you know, it's a pretty good assembly of players.
Well, and it's a fantastic assembly of human beings. Here's James Jones, who, to me, embodies the kind of depth you have with guys that are excited no matter what role they play, talking about Amari, these we've had lately.
I mean, Amari, he's a beast. I mean, he may be lean, he may be light, he may not be, you know, traditional center at 280 pounds, but he's strong, he's powerful, and he's fierce in the basket. And that's the element that we were missing last year against Dallas and in the playoffs against the Lakers. And
James Jones. Coach, before we let you go here, give us a sense of the teams that you've lost to. Utah is playing lights out for them with a very new cast. Dallas, San Antonio, the Lakers are playing well. Who do you think are your biggest competitions at this point?
Well, you have to go traditionally. I think it's San Antonio and Dallas right now. I think Utah is playing great, and they have beaten us twice, and they're going to be there to the end, and we'll have to deal with them. And the Lakers have improved a lot, so I do think they're still a rung below those other two guys, only because, you know, of past history and what these other two teams have done during the playoffs. So it's still Dallas and San Antonio, I think, that we got to get over.
Finally, just the depth, the fact that I think you guys have gone from 5, 6, 7 players to 7, 8, 9 players with Jermaine Jones, with Jalen Rose, with James Jones, who we just heard from, Kurt Thomas. Tell me about those players and what a difference they make during an 80 to 90 to 100 game season.
Well, you know, they really will come into play if there's any injuries because those guys can play. And I'm not playing them a lot right now. We have a kind of an 8-man rotation. But I have some really good guys. Marcus Banks is having a hard time finding space to get comfortable and different people. Jalen Rose, like you said, Jermaine Jones can play. They can light it up. But, you know, having guys that are young and, you know, need time on the floor also, it's tough to work everybody in. But they will be there, and I know. We'll see what happens.
Just kidding. Thank you so much, sir. Good luck
to
you.
All right, thank you, Dave. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Mike D'Antoni, a true gentleman and the best coach of the best team right now. And yes, I am biased, but this team is redefining the NBA along offensive lines, about wearing teams down in the fourth quarter. Watch out for them this year. They're going to win it all. We'll be right back with BCS Commissioner Mike Sly talking about college football and the system to prove a champion. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline and SiriusXM.